Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the middle of an amazing series of studies on stewardship. I know it sounds boring, but it's about using all of our talents, tangible and intangible resources, to bring blessing to those around us. Today, we're talking about the marks of a good steward. It's a time to examine ourselves with the loving God who says, I want to teach you how to be a faithful steward in these last days of Earth's history. And I'm glad you joined us, and I'm especially excited that one of our team is going to be teaching. Stephanie, it's great to have you teaching the study today. I know it's going to be really powerful, and I'm glad that you're all here too. What a great series this has been. So practical, and I know we're going to be blessed as we study together today. We're glad that you are with us too. It's been an amazing journey. If you've missed any in this series on stewardship, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch all of the past studies, and you'll be incredibly blessed. I know it's challenged me personally. And here are a few notes from our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Here's one from Shireen in the United States. She says, I'm a new viewer of Hope Sabbath School and also a relatively new believer. I love your program and all of your co-teachers. Well, Shireen, we've got a co-teacher today. Stephanie, we're glad you're teaching. You're also generous with your insights and personal experiences. I think we'll hear some testimonies today. I enjoy and appreciate each one of you. Keep up the great work as it provides more encouragement than you all could imagine. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for writing to us. That's our prayer. We know this isn't just a program. It's something that's blessed by God. More than a million viewers, 150 countries that we know of. You say, how do you know how many countries are watching? Well, we have an app on our Android phones and for Apple phones, and we can track that. 150 countries are using our Android app. So we're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School, wherever you are. Hastings, thanks for writing from Malawi in the heart of Africa. I'd like to join thousands on thousands who follow Hope Sabbath School in praising God for such a provision of free living water from the deep wells of Scripture.
Amen.
Hope Sabbath School study makes a great difference in making the Bible study easier to understand. Thank you for the outline. Ah, Hastings, you download the same outline that Stephanie will be using, right? I've got mine right here. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download this one-page interactive outline. You can start an interactive Bible study in your area there in Malawi. So you download it. We're glad you're using it. Very helpful tool. May God continually bless and guide. Let Christ be exalted. Amen?
Amen.
That's our prayer. I pray to God that we will meet on the sea of glass when Christ comes to take us home in the blessed hope. I think he believes in Jesus' second coming.
Amen.
And we believe in that too, Hastings. We're looking forward to the glorious return of Jesus. I think we've heard from the kingdom of Swaziland before, haven't we? But here's one from Baba Jide in the kingdom of Swaziland. I love that. I greet you, my brothers and sisters in Hope Sabbath School, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's a great greeting. I thank God for granting you the knowledge and insight to teach the Word of God with such simplicity and yet not losing its value. As a teacher of an English class in my local church, that your Sabbath school is a source of insight for me. See, we're teaching people to teach the Word. Amen?
Amen.
That's all. We're multiplying. My preparation to the study is this. First, I glance through my study. Second, I watch Hope Sabbath School. Actually, audio version. So he listens to the audio version of Hope Sabbath School. Three, I go back and study.
Amen.
I drive 1 hour each day to work, and I listen. Okay, he downloads it and listens to it while driving in his car. You are a wonderful blessing to me. Well, a high-tech Bible teacher from the Kingdom of Swaziland, Baba Jide, we're glad that you wrote to us. God bless you. Here's a note from Oregon from a donor. And I'm not going to give the person's name. Don't want to give attention. We give to bring honor to God, right? But this person believes that we're part of a global mission to bring the gospel to the world, and it happens because of your support. Thank you, not just to a donor in Oregon, but wherever you live, for your support. I've enjoyed Hope Sabbath School for the last years. I watch many programs on the Hope Channel, and it's the only church I attend. Thank you. Well, I don't know why you can't get out to church, because church is a wonderful blessing, but sometimes because of sickness or age or distance, you know, Christian media is the lifeline. Radio, television reaches out and blesses the life. And we are honored that we can be part of that channel of blessing to you. Thank you for your generous support. One last note from Stephen in Zambia. You know, we have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia, don't we? Yeah. Stephen writes, "It's such a wonderful experience watching Hope Sabbath School from Zambia. I've become a regular viewer of this program. It's helping me spiritually. One thing I like is looking at the class using their Bibles. God bless you." You know, I'm glad we just don't say, "Well, my opinion is, what's your opinion?" But we really want to know what the Bible says. And I thank you for writing to us, Stephen. God bless you. Keep educating the world through this wonderful program. Well, wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. Write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. Hopefully we could read your email on an upcoming program. But right now, we're going to sing one of my favorite scripture songs. It's the theme song for this series on stewardship, 3,000-year-old scripture song, Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. You can download it from the website. I'm sure you've already learned it. So let's sing it together. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. You know, I think by the end of this series, we'll be walking around. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my..." Maybe we'll get an email from a little boy in Botswana saying, "I like to sing. I will praise you, O Lord." And what a great song to sing. Amen. "I will tell of all your marvelous works. I'll rejoice and be glad in you." And amen. Stephanie, as we begin our study, I know we're going to find joy as we study His Word. Why don't you pray as we begin?
Yes. I love that song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds, and that this would not only be intellectual knowledge today, but it would be something that would change our lives. Amen. And impact the lives of those we come in contact with.
Amen.
Teach us from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So in this series, we have been talking about what? Stewardship.
Right.
Yeah. And stewards have responsibility over tangible and intangible resources, right?
Sure.
So are these limited to just folks that have a house or a car or money? No. Stewards?
No.
Is that what we're only referring to?
No.
Who does that include?
All of us.
All of us?
Yes.
What if we don't have any money or we don't have any resources?
Sounds like Jesus.
Really?
And yet he was the steward of the mysteries of God.
He sure was.
Yes.
And so today we're going to talk to everyone, right? To ourselves included. Mm-hmm. This is not limited to just individuals with maybe tangible resources, but also those intangible resources like
time,
talent, and knowledge. Okay, so today our study is on the marks of a good steward. I'm going to say the marks or the characteristics of a Christian steward. Mm. And Nicole, if you would start our study out with the first characteristic, we'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Ooh.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 from the New International Version says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must be proven faithful." I'm sorry, must prove faithful.
Hmm. All right. Do we have another version that might say, Lourdes, do you have another version?
Yes, I have the New International, New King James
version. New King James. All right. Would you read that one
as well? It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful."
So a steward to be found faithful, why is it required that a steward be found faithful? Anyone? Yes, Andre.
Because if they're not faithful, then they're going opposite to what they've been asked to do. Mm-hmm. And some people when they should be a steward, they end up being a warden, holding back and really like locking away what God has given them to do.
Okay. Tigist, you had a comment.
Oh, he just took the words out of my mouth. You will not be a steward if you were not entrusted with something. So you would not be a steward. They believed in you and they trusted that you could do something, and that is why you were called a steward in the first place.
They're trusting that you'll be faithful with what you've been given. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is a story we looked at in a previous study that the one who is not faithful, that resource is taken from him and given to one who is faithful. Mm. Because we can't waste the resources that God has given.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
You know, one thing to understand about being a steward is that those things do not belong to you.
That's right.
And if you have something entrusted to you that doesn't belong to you and you're not faithful with it, then you're doing a disservice to the person who entrusted you. So it's more, you know, it can be more about the relationship as well.
That's true.
So, Kyle, would you take us over to Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12? And I believe this is the story that you had been referring to before. And this is Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12.
All right. Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?"
So why do you think it's required? If you're not faithful in what you've been given, the small amount, how will you be given more?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jonathan.
Sometimes the characteristics that you develop, even the smallest things, are what lays the groundwork for you being able to deal with bigger issues.
Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that things build. Our abilities as we are faithful in the small things.
And our character and our choices and what we will do, the character that we need to be able to deal with difficult things is built in the small, starting simple things. Mm-hmm.
So being committed, faithful in that which is small, yes.
I remember a story of a gentleman who was a mogul or tycoon in business, and he said he had asked God to enlarge his business. And so he said when he promised to be faithful in his giving, in his tithe. So when he made his first 1,000, he gave 100. And then he made his first 10,000, he gave 1,000, and it kept on going up from there. When he got to 1,000,000 and he saw it had to give 100,000, he began to question. But then he remembered his promise to God and also the word that this very same text that says he is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. And he continued to give and God continued to bless him. Mm. Mm.
So can you think of a Bible character who was faithful? Mm. All right. Let's go to Abraham.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read verses 8 through 12. And Andre, would you read that for us? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12.
Absolutely.
And let's hear what the Bible says about faithful Abraham.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs which with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
All right, there's a couple different things in there. First of all, let's talk about the faithfulness of Abraham, his faith. What do you see in those verses that demonstrate his faithfulness?
He obeyed.
Kyle.
He obeyed God's word, to go even before he knew where he was going. So he didn't know how it was going to turn out, but he knew he could trust the one who was leading him. Mm-hmm. He knew he could trust God.
How did he know that? Yes,
that speaks of a relationship mm-hmm. he had with God. So he built that relationship in order for mm-hmm. him to just obey without question. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of maybe a relationship I would have with my child. If I did not trust my child to do something, you understand, that relationship. So when I ask my child to obey, it's not me telling her to obey without question and just forcing her to do it. But the relationship that we built gave her trust to know that mommy knows best, so she would do it. And that's the kind of relationship Abraham had.
So she trusted you were faithful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, it impacted me when Kyle mentioned about Abraham, as he was called at that point, too. Abraham knew, and the Bible records, that he was not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He made mistakes, sometimes big ones, but he also trusted that God would be with him in spite of that.
Right.
Faith is not just saying, I'm perfect and God will. No. Mm-hmm. Faith is saying, God, you know me.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm going to trust you in spite of my frailty if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to trust that if I stumble, that you're going to lift me back up. You're going to forgive me and go on. It's a journey. I think that's important. Otherwise, we might think, well, then there's only a few people that can be faithful. Actually, we're all called to be faithful.
Yes, amen. Very good point. Mm-hmm. I'd like to come back to what Tigas said, because in those verses, we're hearing that Sarah judged him who? Who is him?
God.
Faithful, who had promised.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So ultimately, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He's calling us to be faithful for him, right?
That's right.
And let's continue on with that story, and we'll look at verse 17 through 19 of Hebrews chapter 11. And Sean, would you be able to read for us Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
Mm. All right, what do you see in those verses? Those are powerful verses about what Abraham did.
It's true.
Someone. Yes.
I don't think Abraham could have done what he was willing to do without having a relationship with the one who he had seen was faithful, as you said. And it was that relationship that made him realize, you know, if God's calling me to do it, it's because it's for my own good and he'll work it out.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
I was going to say that he held on to the promise that Isaac was where his seed was going to be called from, right?
Yes.
Isaac was the son of the promise, and even if he was going to lose him, he's going to get him back somehow. Mm-hmm. He believed God despite the circumstance.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, right? Yeah. So have you ever been called to make that choice? You didn't know where God was leading, but you sensed that he was telling you, I need you to leave.
Hmm.
Anyone? Hmm. Well, we'll give you time for testimonies. Think about that. Erica?
Well, to me, it I think what he's a steward of in this verse, what Abraham is a steward of, is Isaac. Isaac was the promise of God. He was given by God. And I remember when I found out I was pregnant with my first child, and it was a surprise, and I said, God, what am I going to do with my child? And God, you know, kind of impressed me, spoke to me, and said, this is not your child. This is my child, and I'm letting you raise him. And now with the boys going off to college, I've said, God, will you take care of my children? And he says, I will take care of your children. And so I think that Abraham did the same thing. That is, to me, the thing that my stewardship that I feel is the most important stewardship in my life is my children. And this was what he was a steward of. And he trusted God so much that even if God asked him to sacrifice his son, God could bring him back to life. So whatever God asks us to do as stewards of our children that he has given us, he will be faithful in taking care of them.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important, like Ranella said, that we understand the character of God, because if he loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love, then he's got something good that's happening here. Mm-hmm. This is not the pagan god Marduk, where they sacrifice their children in the fire to somehow calm an angry God. Mm-hmm. We know that God is a God of love. Mm-hmm. And so he says, God, I don't really know what you're doing here, but I know we will return again. You remember he says that in Genesis 22. We're going to come back.
Yes.
So somehow you're going to show you're a great and awesome God here. And the faithfulness, I think, is just trusting the beautiful character of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so when he asked me to do something, I'm just going to trust him in that.
Because nothing's impossible, right?
That's
Luke
1:37,
with God, nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. Nicole.
I was going to say, it's funny, though, because sometimes it's hard sometimes to trust.
Yes.
It is, because, and I was thinking about an experience. For me, I was going in a path in my career, and I got to a point where I was like, it's all about me. And I think God said, no, it's about me. And he switched my career, and he moved me someplace else. Mm-hmm. And I fought it. Because I was like, there's no way you want me to do this. But I had to step back for myself and say, God, I trust you, and I trust that your decisions are best for me. I'm still waiting to see how it's best, but I'm giving it over to him to show me how he's moving me in my life.
And part of the way is you became part of the Hope Sabbath School team.
Amen.
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 Teaching the world about the truth of God.
Which is a clear demonstration that God doesn't always give us immediate answers, does he?
No.
Yeah. We trust him because he is faithful.
Yep. Amen.
Kyle, did you want to say something before we moved on?
Oh, I was just going to agree with Nicole's point, but I think that God is so faithful. And even when we can't see why we are where we are at a given moment, we can always know that he is with us. Mm-hmm. And like for Abraham, he has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's powerful. Let's turn over to our last verse in this section, and that's Revelation 2:10. So how does this impact us? And Gary, if you would read that for us, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And when you have tribulation 10 days, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Hmm. Amen.
Faithful unto death, and what?
I will give us a crown of life.
Did you want to say something, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just thinking in the last one how, I mean, it's one thing to steward resources that, you know, God gives you and you take care of them. It's another thing to give them up unto death. Mm-hmm. And here, I mean, God is asking us to be willing to even give up our own life and mm-hmm. to trust that he will work that out from an eternal perspective, that in the long term, he is the one we can trust.
Amen.
I think it's important, though, Stephanie, it doesn't say be faithful unto death and you will earn a crown of life.
Correct.
I will give it to you because salvation's a gift.
It is.
It's a gift,
eternity
yeah.
with him is a gift. Mm-hmm. That faithfulness is not to earn something. That faithfulness is because we're already his redeemed children. Yes. And we know he's faithful, like you said.
Right.
You know, he's faithful and we want to be faithful to him.
So the faithfulness is coming back to I'm faithful because of this trust relationship.
Amen.
That is true.
I know my Savior, right? Mm-hmm. Tigas, before I go, move on.
And it's important that we talked about tangible and intangible things, and I was saying ourselves, our lives, and that's what Revelation is talking about. We should be good stewards of ourselves, and that's why we are going to be gifted the crown of life. And so we should be good stewards of our lives.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Living sacrifice.
Right.
Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Let's move on to our second characteristic, and it's loyal. And I have to tell you, I had to look up the definition. So do you mind if I share it with you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. It's giving or showing a firm or constant support or allegiance to a person or institution. All right, so let's turn over to Matthew 6:24. As we're looking at loyal, being loyal and loyalty, 6:24. And Erica, would you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 for us?
Sure. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money."
You can't serve God and money. Mm-hmm. Did it say you shouldn't? No. You can't.
Right.
Someone unpack that for me. Why does it say it that way? Nicole.
In a previous study, we talked about the words can't versus must. Mm-hmm. You can't do something you must not. And for can't, it's a physical impossibility. Mm-hmm. You physically cannot serve God and serve money. It doesn't say you mustn't do it. It doesn't say try not to do it. It says you can't. Hmm. It's basic. Physically impossible, impossibility of serving two masters.
Yes, Kyle.
Yeah, in a previous study, we talked about how when you're looking at someone or something, you can only look at one thing at a time. You can't focus on two different things. You'll get blurred vision, right? Mm-hmm. So you can only look one way. And so Jesus is saying, you can't really look at me and be looking at the world. You have to choose. And so that's why we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Mm. So coming back to the definition of loyal, that's being constant, putting all of your energy into supporting one cause. Yes, Sean?
I was just going to say, and sometimes we have to remember that the requirements are different. God has different requirements than a person who's selfish. Because if all you're out to do is please yourself, that's why the word can't, you know, just flourishes. Because you can't just serve, I'm sorry, you cannot serve God and try to fulfill your wants and your needs and all your selfish desires. Because it's just impossible. And I think in your definition, you had the word like government. You know, God has a law set up, and that law, you know, kind of wars within our hearts if we're not giving ourselves or dying to ourselves daily. So you just can't. The requirements don't allow it.
I'm hearing it comes back to a relationship, a very intentional relationship, a commitment to God. But it requires us to make a decision, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. And verse 15, and Lavinia, would you read that verse for us? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15.
I will be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today, which will you worship? The gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord."
Amen. Amen.
So have you ever had to make that decision?
Mm-hmm.
Make that choice? Do you want to share? Let me ask you this question while you're thinking about your own experience. When would you say a person's loyalty is tested or tried the most? Mm-hmm. Nicole.
For me, it's in marriage. I really believe that. As I was looking through some of the topics we're going to talk about today, a lot of them are a good spouse, loyal, faithful, trustworthy, clear conscience. These are all things that you practice in marriage. And so for me, I have to practice this every single day in my marriage to be trustworthy, to be faithful, to be loyal. And so I think that God, for me, put me in a marriage to make sure that I'm a faithful steward and I'm practicing it every day, because if not, I might become very focused on myself. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Jonathan.
Yeah. For me, it makes me think of going through health issues. I don't know if anyone else has maybe gone through health issues. Sometimes you get to situations where there are different gods out there that are going different ways. I mean, sometimes when you're stuck with health issues, you can't figure things out. There are different types of approaches to dealing with health that get into things that you have to start believing things. You have to compromise your beliefs. Mm. And sometimes it can be tempting. It's like, well, if I just don't think about it too much, I've seen other people that seem like they get healed or whatever, and so I just won't think about it and I'll just use it. Things in our lives that maybe tempt us to, like, well, just kind of not think too much, or just kind of compromise our convictions.
Compromise our convictions, our loyalty. Andre, and then Sean.
Years ago, I was a youth minister in California, and people knew that I did music as well. And I was contacted, because I had friends in the industry, I was contacted by the manager of a famous artist who had heard some of my music and offered me large sums of money to come and write for that artist. Now, I'm doing youth ministry, and I'm talking about the dangers of the industry and all this kind of stuff. I did go out to Malibu, meet with that artist, and sat with them, and we discussed it. They gave the figures, and I had a tossed and turned for a few nights. And then I got up to preach and just gave my testimony that I had made a decision to not go that path and forego the worldly lucre, what they call it, filthy lucre. That would help quite a bit, but to forego it and remain loyal to what I was called to do.
Amen. That's amazing. And Andrea, I don't want to leave that testimony without asking you, what was the turning point? How did you know, I'm not doing this? Yeah. I'm choosing a different direction.
I wouldn't have been faithful to the Word of God, because the kind of music that I would have made would have been opposite of what the Word teaches. Mm-hmm. And that, when I asked myself that question, there's something called gray areas, and there's several questions you ask yourself. Is this in alignment with my beliefs? And it wasn't. Mm. So
So basing it on what does the Word of God say, and what is the opportunity for me? Thank you for sharing. Sean.
It wasn't such a great testimony. It was just the fact that, the question is, when it's severely tested, and it's usually when, I think you were saying it, when you don't weigh out the options, so it's that instant gratification. Mm. If I just do this. X or Y or whatever the case is, whether it's health, money, like we heard, marriage or anything else, if you don't weigh it out, then that's when the loyalty becomes severely tested, because you start to dim the hope that you have in God, because what Satan is offering just looks like quick fix. And that's, if you don't pay attention, that's when it becomes severe. But it's not severe if you always keep your eyes on Jesus and
Amen.
You just focus. It's
Amen.
A breeze.
So the tendency to compromise because of what we may have emotional attraction to, whatever that might be, to get. These are great
I
comments.
Know you gotta go
I'm
on,
sorry.
But back to Nicole. Loyalty is not something we try to do.
No. Mm.
Loyalty comes out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does. When you see, you talked about a spouse, you may see another spouse that looks attractive and just say, God, I hope that person's blessed like you've blessed me. Yeah. Right? That's right.
Amen.
You don't look in another way because of the relationship. Mm-hmm. You don't try to be loyal.
No.
Loyalty is a mark. You talk about the mark,
right?
Right.
It's a mark. And sometimes it may even surprise us. We say, well, thank you, God. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the relationship with Him that the loyalty is manifested.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And can you think of anyone who, in the Bible, who was loyal to God?
Joseph.
Daniel.
Job. Joseph.
Job.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Absolutely.
Daniel.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, now, I know that we kind of segued into having... having the conflict of maybe I'll compromise, but that has an impact on our conscience, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to take a look at the third mark. We've looked at faithfulness. We've looked at loyalty. Now we're going to look at having a clear conscience. And so I'd like to ask Eric, if you would read for us Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. And we'll be looking at a clear conscience. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Do you have that for us?
Now I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, that's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 18. It says, pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. My version says that we have a clear conscience because we are willing to live honestly. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a clear conscience, I guess I kind of gave it away, didn't I? When you have a clear conscience, why do you have a clear conscience?
You're living honestly.
Because you're living honestly. Incidentally, your conscience, having a clear conscience, a lot of people will tell us, follow your conscience, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's something that's important to keep in mind when we hear that? To follow your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. Somebody talk to me about that. Erica.
Well, our consciences are flawed sometimes. I mean, I think we can sometimes confuse that with our feelings. Mm. And that can be, you know, we have to stake everything on the Word of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
There
Amen.
We go. So are we saying that it needs to be educated by the Word of God?
Right? Yes.
Amen. All right. So when we, as we're looking at a clear conscience, we're realizing that this conscience has been educated by the Word of God. It's founded on the Word of God, nothing else. Mm-hmm. Yes, Kyle, you wanted to say something.
Oh, she said exactly what I was thinking. So, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked.
Yeah. Mm.
And so that's why we have to really keep focusing on Jesus to know really what the right thing to do is in every situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go on to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Lourdes, if you would read that for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And as we're going there, Jonathan, you had a comment for us?
Yeah, just back on the last point. I think the fact of having a humble heart in the starting mm-hmm. point, like being willing to confess our needs. So like, how can we have a clear conscience? I think starting with being willing to say, okay, I've erred, or just in our relationship with God and with other people. And if we start that way, then we can keep that clear conscience more easily, because then we're not trying to put up a fake whatever, because we can just be real and mm-hmm. and yet pursuing righteousness.
Right. And embedded in what you just said there was having this relationship with God.
Amen.
Knowing that I made a mistake somewhere, but God can get me out of that, and he can reveal that to me, and I can come back with a clear conscience. And we're going to talk more about that in just a little bit. Lourdes, would you read for us 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version.
Okay.
It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron.
Hmm. Hmm. All right. So if you would tell us, what is it? Why would they not have a clear conscience in this case? Anyone that you can see here?
They abandoned their faith.
They've abandoned the faith. Mm-hmm. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, right?
Mm-hmm. Following deceitful spirits.
Mm. Okay. Are those according to the Word?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. So there again, we're looking at the differentiating factors. Gary?
I don't know much about physiology, but I know if you sear yourself with a hot iron and it's all scar tissue, you can't feel, mm-hmm. right? You burn right. all of the nerve endings there. I can't even imagine what that means in your brain, you mm-hmm. know, but it is possible to so damage mm-hmm. your conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible does talk about unforgivable sin, mm-hmm. where we're just hardened We talk about hardening your heart, but we could talk about searing your conscience. Same thing, that you just lose all sensitivity. That's actually a frightening place to be. Because how does the Holy Spirit reach you at that point?
So I'm wondering, has anyone in their experience dulled their conscience? And how did you know? What happened? How did you get back?
Derek. I can say it without weeping. 18 years old, involved in a relationship with a young lady, not a Christian. Tried to pray one night, felt like the prayers were just bouncing off of the ceiling. And finally, this fear came that maybe, you know, I told God, just don't, you know, I don't want you to micromanage my life. That maybe actually he'd honored that prayer and he was gone. Someone told me later, that was, by the way, the night of my conversion. Praise God.
Amen.
Someone told me later the fact that I even felt a concern about that was an indication.
It wasn't going.
It wasn't totally a lost cause. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
But I think, you know, that hopelessness that would come of realizing that there's no possible connection. Praise God, I wasn't there. But sometimes we play with darkness. Or as we talk about playing with fire and thinking you won't be burned, isn't that in the Proverbs too? That's a foolish thing to do. Yeah, praise God. He's there and he's trying to speak to us before it's too late.
And there's hope in Jesus, isn't there?
Amen. I'm here to testify that.
And I'd like to read some hope. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. And who would be able to read that for me? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Andre, would you read that, please?
I'm reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Is that good news?
Hallelujah.
Somebody needs to hear that
Amen.
Today.
Amen. Praise God.
This is about restoration, restoring that relationship with God.
Amen.
And then once that relationship is restored, what is another characteristic that we see? Sorry, we're having to move on. Testimonies are great. The next characteristic we're going to look at is obedience. Being obedient. And we'll just turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And Kyle, would you read that for us?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going."
So how does this show obedience? Wow.
Action.
Yeah.
Yes. Action.
He trusted the word of God.
He trusted the word of God. And I would like to capitalize on that, because this is, again, we're coming back to a relationship. He trusted the word of God because God was faithful. God was faithful who had promised. And therefore, he acted upon a promise that he knew from someone who was faithful. And I have Gary, and then I'm going to come to Kyle, okay?
You just took the words out of my mouth.
Great.
He had a living relationship with God. And he knew that what God said he would do, he would do. And he moved due to that trust, that relationship.
He moved because of the faith, because of that trusting relationship. Kyle.
I have to share a verse, and maybe Ranella can help me know the reference because she always quotes it. But it's the verse that says, "No good thing, Psalm 84. Can we
go to that?
I just really wanted to share this one because it's so relevant.
What verse is that?
It's
Psalm 84.
Psalm 84 and verse 11.
Psalm 84 and verse 11.
And this is just such a powerful promise to me that, like Abraham, we can trust God. You know, when we obey Him, He wants to give us only good things. Mm-hmm. And it says in the New King James Version, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly."
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Renella.
I think we're talking about stewardship and obedience, and really it comes down to trust. Mm-hmm. Knowing that we talked about relationship as well, but I think being able to know that when we're in heaven and we can see and we look back on our life, we wouldn't have it any other way than mm-hmm. God had led, even though in that moment we have no idea what's happening mm-hmm. and why and where we're going and what's going to be next. But having that trust relationship yes. where we know, even though I'm blind, God sees everything and I can trust Him.
Amen. Lourdes.
It just reminded me, not too long ago, I had a patient who actually happened to be a nurse. And she was telling me the opposite, how it is to be on the other side, and now she needed to trust. And it made me realize, for me to see my patient for the first time, the patient is not going to trust me. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes for me to understand their feelings, to be with them. And it's just with God. It's all about relationship. Mm-hmm. Building the rapport, but it's not going to come from one day to another. It's going to be each day, each second when we go into trials. And it's a wonderful thing, but it has to be a relationship with God.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, Andre.
If we're called to be a steward, and a mark of being a good steward is obedience, then when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it takes on a deeper meaning.
Would you like to read Hebrews
Absolutely.
Chapter 11, verse 1?
It's from the New King James Version.
Go over
Hebrews
there.
Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we read that a lot of times, and we kind of gloss over it many times. But if I'm a steward and I'm being obedient, then inherent in this particular scripture is a call to step out in faith. And when I step out in faith, I become the substance of things hoped for. In other words, people look at me and see that I actually believe that God is going to come through. I'm hoping for something, and I become a visible example of the faith that I have. And then you move on to where it says the evidence of things not seen. It becomes evident in my life that I actually believe that the things that I don't see yet, God will fulfill. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can call this name here, but Mahatma Gandhi, often speaking and looking at Christians, he said, "I would have been a Christian if I ever met one, if I ever saw one," he said.
So Andre, what you're telling me is that it's not just about me and my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's beyond that.
Mm-hmm. There are others
this
watching.
This is... There are mm-hmm. witnesses. There's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching and saying, "That's something that I want." Yeah. So it's a testimony. It's bigger than us. We have to move on. Yeah. And we're going to look at trustworthy, because we have been talking about a lot of trust, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And throughout trustworthy. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. And is there someone who has that would like to read for us? Genesis, Renella?
Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance.
So was Joseph a steward?
Yep.
He was a steward of what?
Of everything that Potiphar had.
Of everything that Potiphar had. Why do you think that? Why do you think Potiphar gave him that stewardship responsibility?
Trust.
What does the Bible say? Andre.
Well, obviously he recognized that he was trustworthy. And I was actually thinking of the fact of how do you build trust? And I've been studying that. How do you build trust? And the fastest way to build trust is results. So obviously, as Joseph worked for him, he saw the results, and it increased to the point where he turned everything over. He said, I can turn everything over to him.
Sure. All right, Nicole, you have something you want to tell us.
But he saw Joseph's relationship with the Lord. It says it. Yeah. He saw that the master was with him and that he had a relationship with the Lord. And that is what made him realize he's a trustworthy person.
That's powerful, because even folks that do not trust God. Let's talk about that, right? There are people that do not trust God. But if they see that there's someone who trusts God, they have trust in that person, don't they?
Yes.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah.
All right. I have several hands up. Kyle, Derek, and then we'll start in the front row. Go ahead, Kyle.
Mine's really quick. I just wanted to go back to a comment Jonathan made a lot earlier in the program, and that was that small things matter. And I can only imagine that Joseph, early on in his time with Potiphar, he was faithful and did the right thing, even in very small decisions that he made. And I'm sure Potiphar noticed those decisions and increased his responsibilities as he saw that he was faithful. So we just need to remember, and this is a good lesson, just to do well and be faithful, even in the little things every day. They build up and determine our characters.
And I think it's really important to realize he was not only a steward of Potiphar's house, he was a steward of the mysteries of God. Because he knew the truth about God. He knew all the promise about the Messiah who would come. He knew that there was a God in heaven who loved him and had a plan for his life. And so that, it's not just, well, I have to be a trustworthy steward for Potiphar. That relationship with God informed everything he did. How can I do this great sin? When he's tempted by his master's wife, first he says, you're his wife. So he's being faithful to Potiphar. But then he says, how can I do this great sin against God? So I think trustworthiness, again, grows out of that relationship with God. And it's manifested in our being trustworthy in our relationship with him and with other people.
Amen. All right. Who had their hand up? Tigis?
I'd like to give a testimony.
Okay. Share with us.
I'll make it short. I was caring for a child and we had a small accident. I bumped into a stop sign and I got freaked out because the kid was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, should I tell the mother or just say it's just hitting the stop sign? There's no problem. But in my heart, I'm like, I have to tell her. And I just told her the event of the situation that happened. And I said, I'm sorry, I have your child, and you entrusted your child for me to drop this child to this place. And the child's life is upon me for that moment, right?
Yes.
And she actually was very happy. She did not think of the problem at all. She was like, accidents happen, and she raised my pay. And she was like, the fact that you told me was way much more
trustworthy
than.
Why did Tigis go and share that testimony? Why did she share that with the mother? Why did she tell her the truth? Tell me.
For a clear conscience.
For a clear conscience, but and she has a relationship, right?
Yeah. With
God.
Yeah.
So trust, being trustworthy, all of this, we just keep coming back to the same thing. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he will, as we have that connection with him, he leads us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There were a few more testimonies. got to be short.
I just want to say that was the right thing to do, even if she'd been fired.
Right.
Yes.
She was like, I'll be trustworthy and honest, and I'll get a pay raise. She didn't know.
No.
Right.
But she chose, because of her relationship with God, to be a trustworthy steward.
Yes. Amen. Gary.
Quickly, I was a college student. I had a supervisor. He saw that I came in faithfully every day, wondered why I never stayed in late on Friday, and he came to find out what I believe in. And he took me aside one day after a month or two working there and said, I used to believe what you believed, wow. or what you believe, and if you still believe that and you're in college at this university, I want you to work for me.
Wow.
And he, eventually I got a full-time job there. And I worked directly for him. But I mean, kind of like Joseph here, he saw that I still had that relationship and I maintained that. And he liked the work I did. And he was like, wow, you need to work for me.
Amen. All right, some takeaways from this lesson. We've learned the characteristics are faithful, loyalty, clear conscience,
trustworthy.
Obedience, trustworthy. Mm-hmm. What are some takeaways? Just a few. Go ahead, Nicole.
I want to do for God what he entrusts me with. That's what I really want. I just want to be the person that lives for what he wants me to be living for.
Gary.
These are all characteristics of God to us. Mm. And it's just amazing. He's just saying, I'm this to you. Do likewise. I'll empower you to do likewise.
Amen. That relationship that empowers us to live for God. Thank you. Absolutely.
And you know, what's so beautiful is God doesn't love us if we perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He loves us and empowers us
to
be all of those beautiful marks of a good steward. Thanks so much for the study. You've been blessed today.
Yes.
If something has impacted your heart from our study, why don't you write and share it with us, sshope@hopetv.org. You know, the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we want to listen to His Word. What impressed me most is being a good steward is not some ethereal concept. There's some practical ways that we can measure that stewardship. Let's pray we can be those good stewards to honor God even today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this practical study. And I pray that you would, by your Spirit, apply each of these characteristics to our heart, lead us lovingly, and give us the power we need not to make a name for ourselves, but to honor your name and bless those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for a great study today. It's been a journey thinking about being a good Christian steward. And I just pray that you take the resources you have. You say, maybe I can use this to honor God. Listen to His voice and then act in obedience. See how God blesses the lives of those around you.